It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow. Yeah.
This is Davin's Den.
Evening, everybody. You are listening or watching Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than storming the Capitol. I promise you, we are better than storming the Capitol. Whatever, no matter what side you are on, we are better than that. I promise you. You can join the chat room on the Den Pen by going to davincomedy.com, click live broadcast, or you can watch us on our Davin's Den Facebook page via Zoom. Those are your options. Audio is better on Davin Comedy, but of course there's only visual on the Facebook page. I am your host, Davin Roosevelt. I am joined in the car en route to a gig, Joe Curry. Hello, Joe.
Good evening. Good evening. How's everybody doing?
Everybody's peachy and in her own home where she's much happier because she got good cat news, our own Pip Helix. Hello, Pip.
Hi, everybody.
Later on the show, as I alluded to, since we do not have Joe for the full show tonight, we will be joined by comedian, screenwriter, cartoonist, author. He's pretty much done it all. Ward Anderson. You'll enjoy Ward. Ward's a funny guy with a lot of opinions. So Ward will be joining us for parts 2 and 3 of the show. On the show, as you all know, it was a slow news week, so we got nothing. Go the fuck home. No, actually, we'll talk about what should happen to the politicians that took part in the Capitol riot. I don't mean the ones that were speaking about it or that voted after the riot. I'm talking about ones who were tangentially involved or were actually storming the Capitol. What should happen to them? What about the people who were in attendance? What should happen to them? We're starting to see some of them get rounded out. The fallout, and this is probably going to take up a lot of time, because once again, I feel like I need to explain a lot of things. Not to our audience is smart, but the people they share it with. The fallout of Donald Trump and others in regards to social media. Because here's the thing about social media. Everybody gets an opinion, and when it comes to this, they don't know the law, and they don't know the consequences of what they ask for. So many people just want punishment and repudiation, but they don't know what the outcome will be. So I'll go through that, and I'll tell you all the platforms Donald Trump has been banned on. He's not been banned from my show. We are efforting to get him on the show, and we might be able to get him on the show because nobody else is talking to him. Also, the airlines, they have their opinions on people who attended the rallies and whether they should be allowed. And today Chuck Schumer thought that all the people, I don't know the details, so I don't want to overstate it, but I think the ones that are getting rounded up that stormed the Capitol, Chuck Schumer thinks they should be on the no-fly list. Then we'll play some Savage Medicine. So a lot to get to. What I'm going to do is during this segment, because we only have Joe for a little bit tonight, and you know this could be a show where we're agreeing or screaming at each other. I don't know what Joe is going to take will be. I will say, from some Trumpers, some have finally walked away, and some are doubling and tripling down and bless their hearts and trying to distract and whatever. So, but I don't know where Joe's been, because Joe's been posting pictures of deer, which is fine. I like when Joe posts pictures of deer. So we'll get Joe's take, and then I'll talk about my weekend, and Joe and Pip were involved with that tangentially and in a big way, and some other stuff, and that kind of ties in with the theme of the night. But on that note, we will let Joe have his say about the events from Wednesday and forward. You have it, Joe.
Right. Basically, you have not heard much from me except deer pictures, because as the events have unfolded, I've been dealing with a major pricing change at the day program. It's pretty, besides getting doing this gig, it's pretty much been my life for the past 4 days. So I had a lot of time to think about the whole situation with what was going on and how everything unfolded. So basically, you go back to when Trump was elected, okay? not expected to win. The media hated Trump. Trump's main problem is that he would punch back. But it's from the inaugural, when he claimed that it was the biggest one, and it was not. So as Trump would go, a lot of Trump's, and like I said, the whole election and the whole thing with Trump is policy over personality, okay? The policies that he had, I think, were very good. Some were successful in the economy and handling China and the tariffs and so on and so forth. Problem with Trump is he's a narcissist, and every point that he would go, he had to pat himself on the back. The media would respond, and he would go back and forth, which would kind of take away from anything he kind of accomplished as we were going. As we were getting into the year, we had the whole the pandemic. Was it something that is fishy? Yeah. Do we have the proof? No, that's remains seen.
Wait, hold on. Let me stop you. You're not talking about the pandemic's fishy. You're talking about the election, correct?
Well, I'm going into everything that's leading into my thoughts.
Oh, no, because you just said going into the year of the pandemic and it was fishy. You've never expressed that before. You've expressed that you thought the election was fishy, but you've never expressed that you thought
I think both was fishy.
Okay. Okay.
There should be more research done on it. I'm not going to, because you go, well, what proof do you have? Nothing, but investigated, and maybe in the coming years it will. To compound this, you had the Black Lives Matter, okay? The Black Lives Matter. And a lot of people that were speaking out against the rioting on that and how that was going. If you were a right-wing person and you said anything to the contrary, and it has happened to me, you were called a Nazi, you were called a racist, you were called horrible things, even though you were giving your take on it. You were really neither a Nazi or a racist. With that being said, you get a bunch of people that are feeling disillusioned on both sides, the Black Lives Matter and on the radical left. So basically moving forward with the pandemic, you also have the pandemic compounding matter where people are unemployed, people have been home, people have nothing else better to do, people have nothing forward to look. So you have that on both sides. On the way Trump handled the pandemic, I believe he handled it well. I believe that the reason we have a vaccine is for the initiative to get a vaccine developed. With that being said, he shot himself in the foot where he, you know, don't fight with CNN. I've said this before. Don't fight with CNN. Tell him he's got to go back in the Oval Office, work the phones, and Dr. Fauci and Mike Pence will handle the questions and whoever else comes up. So you have that. Moving into the election, I feel there was something fishy with the election. So what proof do you have? I don't have concrete proof. There was just some allegations and some scenarios, but there was nothing concrete. Okay? Then you move into where the rhetoric is. You have a group of people on the right that feel that they don't. Trump was the first person that really gave them a voice. They never had one during the Obama administration, and basically since the before the Obama administration, social media has come very prevalent. So everybody's voice has been heard on this. So what happens is you have the election. Now here's my thing on Trump and the election. What he should have done was should have conceded and said, I don't feel this was a fair election. The results are in. And what I will do in the coming years, I will look into it and I will form a grassroots thing to keep my ideas afloat and to investigate what is going on and to moderate the left and the far left. I will be at the inaugural. I will step down graciously. Obviously, he didn't do that. So now he's at the buildup to the demonstration that was last week. People came there peacefully to demonstrate, okay? Trump said we need to have our voice heard, make our voice heard. You have a radical contingent that decided to storm the Capitol, which was stupid. I mean, it was stupid. I mean, and if you saw the guy, I mean, a couple of pictures. Number one, the guy that they had the pictures of most looks like he's pledging to Animal House. Another guy looks like the bass player in Lynyrd Skynyrd, okay? And then you have these other assorted people in there that don't look like the best and the brightest that went in there. Unfortunately, you know, a person shot, a cop was killed, and it turned into a mess. Moving forward, I feel that the Trump name has been damaged. I also feel on the right is that it's going to be two election cycles if the Biden administration totally screws it up with taxes and regulations. One election cycle, maybe, before Republicans get back on the board again. But the way they went about it is an awful thing. But I gotta say, the one thing looking from the dark side is the way Nancy Pelosi is trying to, you know, reword a document. The way Mitch McConnell is refusing to release the bill for $2,000 to get with him, and so on and so forth. For the one reason that they had to grab their shit and scram, kind of gives me a wink of an eye in a sense. It also is a way, to show the politicians on either side of the aisle that if you're on the left and on the right, you feel that they're not listening and they're putting their party over the people, that they might have given them something to think about in the coming years as they put policy down and start to look at certain matters. You know, it's an unfortunate thing. I do feel that them cutting, you know, Trump off of Twitter is kind of censorship. Also Facebook. Also on CNN today, he was making a speech, and CNN cut away and said, well, he's not telling the truth. We're getting to a point where the media and social media are dictating what they feel is the truth or not the truth, instead of delivering the news and letting the people decide, like Walter Cronkite did in all the classics. So as we're moving forward, I get a funny feeling that it's going to be a lot more censorship, a lot more if you speak out for something, especially if you're on the right, you're going to be labeled a racist. And we'll have to see how it plays out. So that, in a nutshell, is my take on everything.
All right. Before I move on and get into the other stuff I want to talk about, real quick, yes or no, does Donald Trump hold any culpability for the riot?
No, I don't think he does.
Okay. Well, I mean,
he never said storm the Capitol. You know, he did say go down to the Capitol, but he didn't say storm the Capitol.
Well, no. He said, come on down. It's going to be wild. He did say they stole the election from us. He said a lot of things, but I'm not going to get into it now. I told you I was going to let you have your piece. I don't have time, unfortunately, with you to go back and forth because, as we know, you got a gig. So there it is. You got Joe's take. Take that for what it's worth. Maybe you agree with him. Maybe you don't agree with him. I don't agree with a lot of it, but that's fine. We don't agree on a lot of things, and that's okay too. All right. So this weekend I was in Harrisburg. I talked about it last weekend, as you guys recall, the anxiety I was having about the gig, about the hotel, about, you know, performing, about COVID-19, all this stuff. With anybody who knows me, about shows, I'm pretty chill. I mean, you could come right up to me before I go on, and I'm not one of these people like, don't talk to me now, I gotta focus or anything. I'm not. You can talk to me right up until they call my name, and then even after they call my name, I still might talk to you. So I'm not one of the. I mean, there's a lot of comics that are anxious and have their process before they go on stage, and that's fine. I've just never been one of them, but these are extenuating circumstances. So anyway, so let's pick it up. As I said, first time I'll be doing 45 minutes since last March when I was working on the road, and I think I was working with COVID, to be honest. So on Wednesday, we all watched the Capitol riot, whether it be live or as coverage happened. Pip and I were watching it live, and I believe Joe was getting dribs and drabs as he was at the day program.
Well, you know, after we just... To clarify, after you texted me, and then I heard from a coworker, I actually put it on. I was listening to it live.
Okay. All right. So we were all seeing it in real time. So when I was thinking about this upcoming gig, to me, it felt like the first shows back after 9/11. And the fact that something seismic had happened in our country, and a few short days later, my task is to make people laugh and push out... push out whatever's going on in my head. I mean, with 9/11... you would turn on whatever news channel you wanted to watch, and it was, and they would show the pile. With the pile was the Twin Towers, where the, where it was still burning because of the plane fuel, and that went on for several months. And they were, at that point, they were still doing rescue operations. So you would watch that, and you know, for me, it would bring tears to my eyes. So I got to watch that, and then go make with the funny. Oddly enough, my first shows after 9/11 were in Pennsylvania, and this, my first show too, is in Pennsylvania. Now, fortunately, I like Pennsylvania. I like the audiences in Pennsylvania. I find them the right mix of blue collar and intelligent, which is usually my little sweet spot. I enjoy that, but you know, I could perform for anybody. So that's what I was thinking. So now I remember before 9/11, I was working for a booker. And I had, and he's like, "Don't say fuck the Arabs." Okay, I wasn't gonna say that anyway, but you know, like he didn't want me to, you know, like do anything to incite a riot or anything, which was fine. I wasn't gonna do that anyway. It was the beginning.
Did he know your act at all?
Yeah, but I think he was telling that to everybody. I don't think I was special because of that. And I mean, he told me on the phone. It wasn't like when I showed up, he told me that. And I was
okay.
And this is, you know, this is 2001, right? Yeah, 2001.
Yeah.
So this is just the beginning of George W. Bush's presidency. I didn't have a whole wealth of George W. Bush material, if I had any. At that point, you know, I probably thought the election result was bullshit. But, you know, W had not bumbled his way through 8 years at that point. And truth be told, I've said many times, after 9/11, and this is right after 9/11, especially right after 9/11, I mean, those were some of W's finest moments. You know, once he got over the shock of it and all, which people have given him shit for. I was never one to do that. Anyway, so I didn't have a lot of political material. I was a different, this is like 20 years ago. I was a different comic then. I had different sensibility. I was talking about the hard-hitting issues like sheets with animal print patterns. That's what I was talking about. you know, that's the type of shit I was talking. You know, I made it funny, but, you know, whatever. I wasn't talking so much about the day's events. I had some of it, but not a ton of it. So, and also, with the what we just saw at the Capitol, you also had a process that the same people who are like outraged about Colin Kaepernick who were taking a knee and Blue Lives Matter were now on film beating a cop with an American flag. So yeah, you have to process all that, which, you know, I guess you could beat somebody with a flag. You can't kneel to a flag, but you can use a flag as a bikini bottom. I don't understand what the rules are for flags. I've never understood how an American flag is good if it's a part of a thong going up the crack of a girl's ass. I've never understood that. I've never taken a knee by an American flag bikini. I've never protested an American flag bikini. I've just always wanted to go, huh, that's kind of weird. I guess it's not so sacred when it's covering double D's. But what do I know? Okay, that's just a tangent. But you guys know me. I like to think logically and to conclusions, and I have problems when things don't make sense. But if I constantly pointed that shit out, I'd even have less friends, and I'd get nothing done. So I shut up. I find that serves me well. So, but here is the thing: after 9/11, the country came together. Right, left, center, whatever, far right, far left, except for the, you know, the conspiracy theorists. But back then, a conspiracy theorist was a nut. Now it's a politician. But back then, we all came together. We had the common enemy. America had the common enemy. It was Bin Laden. It was Al-Qaeda. So, I mean, if you recall, they all did the national anthem. The Congress did the national anthem on the stairs right after that. And, you know, like I said, W was fantastic. Now, I have also pointed out several times on this show, there was the opportunity for this country to come together over the virus, but 45 fucked that up. Okay. So we are not a united country. We are a very divided country. It has been getting worse and worse since really right-wing media, because either the left audience doesn't enjoy it, or the left people who provide it don't do a good job of providing it. But the right-wing media, and I'm talking about the Rush Limbaughs and shit, they really got a footing during the Bill Clinton administration. That's really where we start to see the media used as a tool to divide us. They really sunk their fangs into Bill Clinton for whatever reason. A blowjob, really, that's such a bad thing. And that's really where we saw the trashing begin of Hillary Clinton, which, you know, had a hand, I'm sure 30 years of it, had a hand in her losing in 2016. So we've seen the fabric of the country get pulled apart. So from Bill Clinton, we went to W. The left hated W. I hated W. Now he seems like a breath of fresh air. But, I mean, W was so fucking incompetent. But, again, even when I hated him, I thought it was wrong what Kanye West said about him, you know, about the fuck-up of Hurricane Katrina, about being racist. That, even when I hated W, I'm like, no, he's not racist. He's just not good at this shit. There's a difference there. I did not think W had racism in his heart. And this is when I was on the road all the time, driving all over the country, and I have long hours to think about how much I hated W. I was never radicalized, but I really did not like him. I really did not like W. Then we had Obama, who we were told was a socialist, was a Marxist, was going to bring his martial law, well, the right was telling us and everything, but really was a very moderate, plain, boring, left-of-center politician. That's really what he was. And the big scandal under Obama was that he wore a tan suit. But still, we had the right unrelenting on Obama, and that polarized us more as we were getting more and more divided. Then we had a very hotly contested 2016 campaign with two, quite frankly, very unpopular candidates. Nobody really wanted to vote for Hillary. Nobody really wanted to vote for Donald at the time. Sure, there were some ride or dies with Hillary, and there were some ride or dies with Donald, but most of us were like, eh, you know, this isn't really what I want. And I remember we were on the air, and I said, well, I would vote for Hillary because I know she's fucking competent. And, you know, and that's important to me in a politician. So even if I don't, and that was the first time I ever cast a vote for Hillary Clinton. She ran for Senate where I live, and I did not vote for her then. She ran against Obama. I did not vote for her then. So and then you saw all this stuff on the internet about, like, these conspiracies that she's a pedophile and the pizza place, and she's like falling apart, physically unfit. And then the left was going after Donald Trump, but with Donald Trump, Hillary had a lot of self-inflicted wounds too. Don't get me wrong. Half of them are basket of deplorables. Not fucking helpful, Hillary, when you're trying to run for office. But Donald Trump, especially if you live in this area, you know somebody who's been screwed by Donald Trump. So Donald Trump had this whole history. So we were divided more. So then Donald Trump wins. So you have some people who go, not my president, which none of us ever were. As much as we dislike Donald Trump, nobody on this show ever said, not my president. He was like, yeah, he's our president. We don't like him, but we only get one. He's the one we're riding with. And I gave him a choice. I gave him a chance. Now, if you recall, my hope was that Donald Trump would be successful for the country. My hope was that his narcissism would outweigh his malevolence. And that meaning, I knew this was a bad dude. I knew it, and I've been proven right, I think. But I was hoping that his desire to be loved, which was what a narcissist has, his desire to be loved would make him do a lot of things that would appease a lot of people, and that would mean another 4 years of Donald Trump, quite frankly, but that's what would happen. That was my hope. I also held that hope that some of the stuff with the negotiating, the fact that he had no real fucking ideology, he still does not have an ideology, he would work together and get shit done. That was the hope. I said, let's give it a try. It did not happen in my eyes. It did not happen in a lot of people's eyes. So then we had a heated election. You know, all this shit spreading about Joe Biden. Again, Joe Biden is just a boring politician, leftist centrist. This one happens to be white. There's nothing exciting about Joe Biden. And Donald Trump, we've had 4 years of it. And you had the whole thing with Russia, and I'm not going to get into that now, but that tore the country apart more. So then we had this election. And then after the election, which Donald Trump put everybody in place, put Chris Krebs in place, had the three Supreme Court justices that he wanted. So many Trump appointees. The great accomplishment, if you're a conservative, is Donald Trump's ability to get judges confirmed, which honestly any conservative who was elected president would have gotten done because they controlled the Senate.
I gotta disagree. Under this administration, what he was put under, I think because he was a lightning rod for controversy, but the simple fact that he got it done was amazing. I don't think any other Republican or conservative would be able to do it.
Well, he had the Senate. Mitch McConnell is the reason why you have three Supreme Court judges. That's my point. Mitch McConnell did not let Merrick Garland, be interviewed. They did not give Merrick Garland a chance. So Trump got three judges. Whatever. And they got a lot of law. Mitch McConnell held up a lot of Obama's choices for judges in the lower courts, too. So they've gotten a lot of concern. My point is, all the court cases, there's like 60 of them, they got one win, which was something that was already agreed to anyway. And and Trump appointed judges were laughing the shit out of court. And when Giuliani and others would go before the courts, they would not put fraud down. When they spoke to you, the audience, they would put fraud down, but they wouldn't put it on the court record because then they'd be held responsible and they'd be disbarred or there'd be sanctions against them from the court. So they didn't do that.
If I could just add something there, my whole contention is that where is the proof? Where is the hard facts? Also, where I think the Republicans, well, at least Trump and Giuliani, were kind of blind as well. We appointed these judges; they'll go our way. And like I said last week, I think the week before, the judges, when the judges were interviewed in front of the Senate and the House of Representatives, they said we rule on the Constitution. We don't rule on party again and again. So you get them in there and they're going, yeah, we're ruling on the Constitution. I can't believe you're doing this. We told you in fucking testimony. This is what we're at. This is our deal.
Well, I'll do you one better, Joe. I'll do you one better. I actually went on the record a couple months ago, about a month or two ago, when all this shit was going down. And I saw Republicans or Trumpsters, whatever you want to fucking call them, I don't give a shit, were saying, we got Coney Barrett on, it's going to swing the vote, blah, blah, blah. And Pip, you might recall, Joe wasn't on with us for that show. I said, I didn't want this woman on the Supreme Court, but how dare you? You're impugning her whole career, everything she's done to get to this point, to think that she's going to be some fucking puppet? That's insulting. Again, I didn't want Coney Barrett on, but I was the one who was standing up for her and go, no, she's going to rule on the, she's a Supreme Court judge. She's going to rule on the Constitution, just as Joe said.
I believe she taught constitutional law. It's not like you got the lady from traffic court in there,
Well, no. What they thought was that all these judges were going to roll over like the Republican politicians, and they didn't. And that's a testament to them. And before Trump, we never had. Oh, this is an Obama judge. This is a Trump judge. This is a Clinton judge. This is a Bush judge. We just had fucking judges, which is the way it really should be. And they're just judges. And you know what? If they're not following the law, whether it be state law or constitutional law, then they need to go. But they don't really have the leeway to make shit up as they go along. That's not really what the gig entails.
I think they have acted, at least the Supreme Court has acted as judges, you know?
Yeah, listen, they're going to have a lot of rulings I'm not going to fucking like. And I think Clarence Thomas is in the bag because no matter what the case is, it's 8-1 and Clarence Thomas is, the one dissent. That being said, I'm not going to impugn the man's integrity. You get there for a reason. Although Clarence Thomas, there's reasons too. You get there for a reason. And Coney Barrett had no allegations of wrongdoing. People did not like her religious beliefs and that she might be a little do-do-do, but that's fine. There was no allegations that this woman was not just, was not qualified. There was no, but you had people on the right clinging to the fact that they thought she was in the bag. And here's what happens with, and I got to get back to Harrisburg, but here's what happens with the Trump supporters, and we've seen it. It all ties in. If you don't do what Der Fuhrer says, you're against them. You're deep state. Bill Barr became deep state. Mike Pence became deep state. Everybody was fucking deep state, to which I have to go, why does Donald Trump keep on hiring the deep state? Maybe Donald Trump's deep state.
I just want to say that I was pleasantly surprised that the Supreme Court didn't rule automatically for Trump because it's weighted that way. I was pleasantly surprised.
Listen, you have to give people the benefit of the doubt and the proven wrong. There was nothing in Amy Coney Barrett's record that said she was a political hack. Was she very conservative? Yes. Do you have an idea of how she's going to rule on a lot of things? Yes. None of that says she's a puppet, though. There's a big fucking difference. None of it said she's a puppet.
Of course, especially when she stamped her foot and said, damn it all, when he asked her for the third time, are you going to rule on the Constitution? You know, I mean, did she what she said?
But we got to remember, Donald Trump kept on saying, my judges. He had the masses, his masses, believing it. And again, I was put in the awkward position of sticking it for one of his appointees. But I'll do that, because I call it down the middle. All right. So we are a very divided country. And Donald Trump's a big part of it. You could say the media's a big part of it. You could say all sorts of things. The internet's a big part of it. You could say whatever you want. The fact is, we are a very divided country. So I'm watching all this shit go down. And I have to, and then we got to do the show. Joe's doing, it's a week later, Joe's doing that tonight, though. A little bit more time's passed, but I'm sure Joe's been listening or watching the news, and he's got to put his thoughts about it out of his mind, and for 30 or 45, I don't know what Joe's doing tonight, he has to make with the funny. That's the game.
Well, I gotta tell you, it took me about 3 days to get my thoughts collected. I finally was speaking, we were talking about it at work. And I kind of made a little dissertation, and I discussed it with my boss, last week and stuff like that, just trying to get all the different sides. And, you heard my dissertation. So, but it took me, it wasn't, when I spoke what I said before, it wasn't a knee-jerk thing. I really had to sit and look at everything.
No, I know. I know, because when I texted you guys on Wednesday, I go, oh, what are you talking about today? And Joe had a reaction, and I could almost see the lasers coming out of Pip's eyes. Because Pip was always like mild-mannered when she responds to shit. But at that point, I could like picture Pip wanting to reach down into Joe's chest and beating out, ripping out his beating heart. So maybe it's better we didn't have a show that night.
But I admit that's exactly where I was.
Yeah, I know. I could tell. And at that point, I go, all right, there's no point in discussing this any further. I certainly don't want us arguing in a text while shit's going on. There's no point. So that was the end of that. But it would have been interesting if we did a show. But anyway, so all this is going.
It would have been our last show as a trio at that particular moment in time.
It would have been fine. We would have gotten past it like we get past everything. It would have been fine. So I get to the gig now, but remember my anxieties about the hotel?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were well founded.
Oh no!
Clorox wiped everything, splayed Lysol and everything, scrub shit. Brought my own pillows, brought my own blanket, brought my own washcloth.
Yeah.
You gotta treat it like the club says there's a condo, and you bring every fucking thing from home.
So now you go to the comedy club. And there's one cordless mic. No mic condoms, no Clorox or anything. I brought a mic with me, but it's not a cordless mic. So once again, my Clorox wipes paid off. Because they're scrubbing that shit down.
Yeah.
So I'm actually feeling pretty good about things. I've just written an insurrection joke. I've got some new, I've written a Biden joke, which is a callback to a Trump joke I do earlier. I've gone through my Trump stuff, the stuff I want to get rid of, and the stuff I feel still pertinent, because I got to start to make the transition. Much like we're all transitioning, I got to start to make the transition, as I've spoken about, from Trump to Biden. And I was very excited to do my first insurrection joke, because I knew it would be the first insurrection joke anybody heard. I was very excited about this. I like to make, I think Pip froze again, but I like to make lemonade. So, I'm feeling good about things until 10 minutes before the show, when the manager comes up to me. As you guys know, to me and the other two comics, nothing controversial. What does that mean? My whole act is controversial. And I'm not talking about animal print sheets anymore. I mean, I talk about guns, I talk about religion, I talk about Me Too, I talk about pedophilia, I talk about... I talk about politics. Every fucking thing I do is controversial if you want to look at it. But I'm the guy that does the controversial shit but walks the line. They've seen me before. Well, what do you mean? Listen, I'm just telling you, because we got reduced capacity. The owner's a Trump supporter. He doesn't want people walking out this, that, the other. Now I'm in a fucking panic. I haven't done 45 minutes since March. What the fuck am I going to do? I text Joe and Pip to let them know what's going on, because we just talked about the week before. I must say, as much as the three of us fucking tear into each other on the show, Joe and Pip were extremely supportive and beneficial to yours truly. They had much more confidence in me at that moment than I had in me. They're like,
we argue, we fight, we point fingers, but when it's time to circle the wagons, we fucking circle the wagons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was much appreciated.
Joe was much more helpful to you than I could have possibly have been.
Well, Joe's a working comic. You're not a working comic.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
You know, it wasn't that you weren't trying, but, you know, Joe's in the trenches. He understands it a little bit more. It's been a long time since you rocked the mic, as the kids in the 90s said. But Joe's like, you know, you do crowd work. I'm like, motherfucker, I don't even, crowd work is when I'm comfortable. I mean, he's giving good advice and everything, but
yes.
Like, I do crowd work when I'm comfortable. I don't know what the fuck I'm going to do up here. So I text my wife and she's like, oh my God, do you want me to do you want me to send you some pictures of some like old notebooks? I'm like, no, there's no time for that. She's like, do you remember the fart joke you used to do? You mean the thing I closed on in the first fucking year that had a Ricky Martin Livin' La Vida Loca reference? No, I don't remember that joke.
Oh, I remember it.
Yeah, believe me, in the first couple of nights since the March break, I've been married again.
I understand. But
do what you gotta do, you know.
But there's no time for anything. Here's the thing. If they would have told me ahead of time, I could have prepared. I would have done the show, and it would have been fine. But to tell me 10 minutes, which is really unfair to me. So now I'm angry. Actually, I do the show. It goes out really well. I remembered a lot more shit than I had. I have a lot of shit. I did the crowd work. Everything was fine. It was a good show. Now, I did give them a misdirection because I'm not allowed to talk about anything controversial. So one of the first things I say up there, I go, listen, I'm not supposed to talk about anything controversial. But I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about it. Everybody's talking about it. Everybody's so divided. You hear it on the radio. I have to talk about it. So everybody's thinking I'm going to talk about the Capitol. And you could just see in the back of the room the manager, like, just like, oh, my God, what's he going to do? I go, what the hell did the Eagles do on Sunday night? What was up with that?
That's good.
That is a great line because basically that is they did a study. Popular Mechanics actually did a study on what's the funniest joke. And it's a joke where you do the setup expecting concrete what the punch is going to be, and it's the furthest thing. So that was good because you stayed away from the topic. You called the moment, and you got the payoff, and there was no harm, no foul. So
yeah,
good on you.
So now I want to stop real quick before I go on with the rest of my weekend. It's a shame we're losing Joe. So I see a lot of comics spouting. And Joe mentioned it, too. I think we're going to have a disagreement on this. About censorship. Let me tell you something about censorship. The comics usually spouting about censorship are usually open micers who've never been counted on to deliver. Who have never been paid to do a spot. Because the rest of us, working comics like Mr. Curry tonight, like myself, we are censored all the time. Whether we're doing a TV spot, or a radio spot, or a club spot, or a cruise ship, or a corporate, or a party, you were told, listen, don't do this. But my First Amendment rights, you're censoring me. Yeah, because you got a job to do. And if you want to do more jobs, you fucking play by the rules. Listen, I could have done 20 minutes of Trump shit. You can't stifle me. I'm an artist. I could have done that. And you know what? There probably would have been consequences. And I wouldn't be working theirs no more. It's not censorship, you dumb motherfuckers. It's playing by the rules of the game. It's not, there's always somebody above us. There's always somebody that has rules. If I said to Joe and Pip, I'm very sensitive about this. I don't want any jokes about the New York Jets. How fucking dare you? They've caused me so much pain, and you're going to make light of this god-awful team. I can't have it. I'm censoring Joe and Pip. But if Joe and Pip want to continue doing the show, they go, all right. The boss says no jokes about New York Jets. That's what the fuck it is. It's not a big fucking deal. And you see these working comics go, censorship. How could they censor? That's the job we fucking do.
I'll give you an example. Basically, and as we get into more of a woke culture, you're working a club and you're doing your act. You're doing material that you're passionate about. You're doing material that you worked hard and perfected. And then you send it out, and due to this whole new way of thinking, this whole woke thinking, you're not getting work, but you're writing what you feel, and you're not getting work.
Well, you know what's funny? The manager's like, well, because I'm like, I haven't worked since March. He's like, oh, well, it gave you a lot of time to write. Yes, but what do you think I was writing about? I'm not fucking living. All we have is COVID and the theatrics of our president. That's all we have. I'm not going out. I'm not living things. What do you think I'm fucking writing about? How often am I going to write? So, yeah, I woke up this morning and the same people were still here. I mean, really?
Really, it's like it's all going to be controversy.
That's what we're being fed. I can't go out and experience things.
Right.
So.
Great.
So that.
By the way, Vaughn in the chat says he handled it like a pro.
Hey, Vaughn, what's up, brother? Vaughn was my feature, and I'll transition to this. Vaughn, very talented comedian, Vaughn Michael. He's going to move up in this area, but right now he's in the Washington D.C. region. Vaughn is one of the things I missed about the road. Because you know what we did? We took our lives into our own hands and we ate inside. Not fucking my brightest thing. I'm Vaughn and I are both pretty... Vaughn is so fucking funny. Remember I told you the Clorox? So Vaughn wanted Clorox wipes in between comics and everything. So he used them the first show and I gave it to him the second show. But he forgot to bring them on stage. So Vaughn goes up there without the Clorox wipes. But he don't want to perform until he gets the Clorox everything. So Vaughn is standing about like 2 feet away from the mic. Just like he won't even grab the fucking microphone. And I'm not saying it was wrong. It was absolutely right. But we actually had to hold up the show until somebody brought Vaughn the Clorox wipes.
Can I add something
sure.
to that? And Uncle Vinny's. He has the wipes, but they're like an individually packed, like handy wipes. So you actually, the last 5 minutes of your set, you have to time it with opening up the wipe pack and getting ready to wipe down the mic.
This is our new reality. And I was disturbed that we had to take it into our own hands. But anyway, going back to what I was going to say. So it was very. Vaughn's been doing this five years. It was fun to talk to. It's been so long since a young comic listening to his aspirations, his dreams, his schemes, what he's gonna do. I miss that. Just fucking hanging out with somebody, laughing, talking about the industry, eating a meal inside. It was so nice to do. And then we had Andrew, who was our host, and he was a good guy. I miss all of that. So then we do the second show. Second show was really good too. The second show I was probably a little smoother because I knew what the fuck I was in for. Not that I really went over material because I was bullshitting with Vaughn all day, but that's on me. that's on nobody's fault but me. So that was good and everything. And we had a drink with the owner, and the owner is he's like, I'm a Trumper, I must be racist. I'm like, dude, I'm not fucking touching that. But he was a good guy. He was in such a good mood. He was a good guy and everything. So you don't have to hate Trumpers, people. You don't have to. Not all of them are bad. There's some good ones.
Yeah.
He's one of the good ones.
Thank you.
Yeah. I've always said that, though. So I'm driving home, and I'm speeding in my car. I miss driving for a few hours in my car, going fast. I'm listening to fucking music. I miss that. I miss working. I fucking miss it all. But my career has been taken away from me. My career is never going to be the same again. This is where Joe can make a snarky comment about my career, and he'd be right.
No. What I can make a comment about is Saturday I was off, and it was a cold night Saturday, and I started to have flashbacks of the cold when we get in the lull during December, and then January starts. This is the week usually January starts cranking up in the clubs. And I would remember just being a cold night. You got a cold night, and you walk into Governor's, and it's fucking packed, and it's a great crowd, and you're working the weekend, and it was nothing fucking like it. I mean, and I'm still getting used to it, getting a taste of it at Uncle Vinny's again, but you miss that. Like I said, the reason I do these workshops is that, you get to write new material, but also the camaraderie of the other comics hanging out, bullshitting, busting each other's balls, helping each other write. You miss that. It's part of what we do, man. You can't explain. Somebody that doesn't do comedy, you can't explain it. Like, Joe's girl, Joe's girl can't understand why I drive down. But you can't explain it, but it's what we do. And to have that taken away from you That's a major thing, man.
Dude, really even is. More than that, I miss joking around with the waitresses. I miss seeing a live audience, not in a fucking little rectangle where if too many people laugh, it cuts out. You know, I miss the whole experience. I've been doing this shit for over 25 years. And I'm so fucking angry. I'm angry that Chinese people eat bats. I'm angry that they flew over here. I'm angry that this president didn't take it seriously. I'm angry that we're divided over COVID-19. I'm grateful that this president put the pressure on when nobody thought it could be done to get a vaccine within a year. I'm grateful for that. I'm angry that the federal government and the states can't get their act together and we're throwing out vials of this vaccine. I have so much fucking anger in me. And there's no place to release it, and I'm not angry or short with people when I meet them or on here, but I'm fucking so angry that something I've worked half my life for has been taken away from me due to nothing of my own and the realization it's not coming back. There's a club I've worked for years. I'm not going back there. Why aren't I going back there? Well, we don't know what's going on, but since COVID-19, people don't come out unless they have like TV credits or like Conan and shit. He might be full of shit. I don't know. But there's going to be a lot more of that stuff. And there's going to be a lot more of this quote unquote censorship at clubs because the clubs are going to be willing to take less and less chances. I'm fucking angry at all of this stuff. And I know I'm not alone. I know.
I got to add something to this. In entertainment in general, all right, we're both comics, but I'm also a musician. We had a conference call last night because we're going to be doing a streaming show. But Mike Messina is besides himself. He pretty much said on the music side everything you said on the comedy side. I missed a gig. I missed it. I go, Mike, I go, it's out of everybody's control. I go, you know, we have to just deal with it. What are we going to do? And I explained it. I go, you know, the comics, we're all in the same boat as the musicians and as the actors and stuff like that. I mean, you know, Joey, you know, my lead singer is an actor and he's going hand to mouth. It's out of everybody's control. What can we do?
Well, Joe, that's
frustration.
That's part of the anger. That's part of the anger, Joe. We are relying on other people, and they continuously let us down for whatever the reason is. The three of us can be as safe and be as smart with this shit as possible, but if everybody else isn't on board, it doesn't matter. The three of us can be like, well, when the vaccine comes, we're going to take it. But if nobody else is going to take it, it doesn't fucking matter. That's what's so disappointing, that we all have to be... What?
Well, I basically have no life. I have no life. I lost my job. I stay at home. I do nothing, ever. One time, I went over to my friend's house to have dinner with my two friends because they're both having problems in their lives. And one of them, it turns out, comes down with COVID. I freak out. I have my second COVID test. You know, I was okay, and thank goodness my friend is recovering. But, I mean, as careful as you are now, today, I just found out that my husband, somebody that works at his radio station, has COVID.
Sorry to hear that.
And he was at the radio station with him. So now, I had to cancel my doctor's appointment today, found out at the last minute, can't go because I have to get tested for COVID again, because... Mr. Helix had, you know, this contact. And it's just like, I understand your frustration. I mean, I do nothing. I live in my house. I don't see anyone. And I've been tested for COVID three times. This will be the third time.
Well, you know.
You know, if I could add to that, like I said, I'm working down here at Uncle Vin. Uncle, let me do my plug because I got to leave in a couple of minutes. Uncle Vinny's Comedy Club, okay. Tuesday through Saturday in Point Pleasant, New Jersey. 1-877 Uncle VIN or UncleVinny'sComedy.com. Shows are at 8:00. All right. Now that I made my plug, I'm doing the full run Tuesday through Saturday. I will stay at Anthony Cumia's place, the compound. Probably maybe two or three nights out of this run. I'm going home. I'm going home. It's another 40 minutes. You know, and then I got the day pro is another hour back to the day pro, but I'm going home.
You brought up Anthony Cumia. Let me just circle back to the censorship thing for one second because it reminds me. You know, because the people who are bitching about censorship. You know who was censored? Howard Stern was censored. Opie and Anthony was censored. For my money, Howard, O&A, did their best radio when they were on terrestrial because they had to convey what was going on while getting around the censors. You had to imagine it was completely enthralling. And you could see that they, not that they weren't funny and they weren't talented, but you could see how much sloppier they were once they went on Sirius XM. Much the same way I am sloppier doing this than we were on when we were on terrestrial radio. You get I was more creative and more innovative before because I had to figure out ways to entertain within the parameters. Now, this isn't saying, oh, I think everything should be censored, but just enough with the so-called artists. I'll go, how dare you censor us? We're all censored, motherfuckers. We're all playing for somebody. Stop it. Get off your soapbox. If you don't want to be...
I think if they're worried about the cancel culture, you know, if you say one wrong thing, you're done.
Well, you know, but that's the reality right now. It's not new. I mean, listen, I dealt with the cancel culture this fucking weekend. You know what? I adjusted. Stop it. Just stop it. It'll swing back and forth. But these self-righteous comedians, both working and non-working, if you're in favor of censorship, you're not a comic. Listen, motherfucker, you're a cruise ship comic. I saw you when you were a club comic. There's no way you're saying the exact same shit you were saying in the clubs than you're doing on the cruise ships. No. You know what you do? You go, oh, I can't say this. Can I say this? Yes? No? Okay, when do we get paid? That's what you're doing. Stop it. Stop it, you self-righteous pricks trying to guilt everybody else and make it like, oh, I'm so pure. Everybody's censored.
What the problem is, and let's go back to the cruise ship comic. Cruise ship comic, a regular cruise ship comic, he actually works to the pleasure of the audience. He actually works to the pleasure of the cruise director.
Yes.
You know, from what the guys tell me, you have to be really good with the cruise director. But one woman that's outraged could fuck that all up.
Correct.
Over that. You know? The way things are now.
Yes. Yes.
True.
And that's why I'm saying, Joe, the comedians know better. The comedians should know better than go, oh, the censorship. Oh, what's going on? Listen, this is being broadcast on Facebook right now. On Facebook right now. If I start railing a kitty cat in the ass, I guarantee you there's going to be complaints and we're going to get censored and the feed's going to go down. But my freedom, my artistic freedom, the cat really needed a good fucking. No, it's against terms of service. You can't fuck cats on the internet. There are just some things you can't do. You might want to fuck cats in the privacy of your own home. I'm not in favor of it, but you might want to do that. But you can't broadcast this shit. But it's censorship.
About it is, with the exception of maybe a three-ball tomcat, everybody can agree that fucking a cat in the ass is wrong. Okay? However, if you do a joke where 95% of the people think it's funny, but it triggers somebody, you've got major fucking problems.
Yes!
Now it's only going to get worse.
And it's not fair, but you know what? We're all playing by the bar is constantly moving. We're all playing by the same rules. I just can't take these self-righteous comics. And the second part of the show, I'm going to talk about the First Amendment again for the millionth time because people go, my First Amendment rights. You don't even fucking know what it is, you dumb motherfuckers. And I'm also going to drop some court cases on you too. And I'm going to talk about Section 230 because El Presidente wants that shit now. He wants to get rid of Section 230. He had no problem with it when they were calling. He had no problem with what was on the internet when they were calling Hillary a pedophile. No issues with it then. I'm going to tell you the unintended consequences of what's going to happen with that. Because a lot of you people don't think shit through, but that's why I'm here. When I'm not fucking cats, I'm thinking about shit. So I have a lot of time to think about shit because I don't fuck cats.
Can we stop fucking the cats?
No, they're so damn cute.
Can we not?
They're cute. I can't. I won't.
Hey folks. I'd love to sit and talk about. You know what? If I was live on the show, yeah, we'd be going to about 11:30. However, I gotta make drunks laugh, so I'm gonna go. And good talk with you. A lot of good discussion. I'll see you guys next week.
All right, Joe. Have a good week of shows.
Thank you. Take care.
If you're in South Jersey, go see Joe at Uncle Vinny's this week. I do have another story. I'll share. I'll get through it briefly, and then we'll take our first break. And we'll bring Ward in. I hope by Joe hanging up it doesn't make Pip cut out, but we'll find out. You still there?
I'm still here.
Okay. So, I live in a sleepy town. Pip, you've driven through my town, right?
Yeah.
It's a very lovely town, is it not?
Very nice.
When I tell people where I live that are familiar with the area, they go, oh, that's a really nice town. I live in one of those towns. My wife and daughter are very happy here. I don't leave the basement, so it's fine.
You should get out every once in a while because it is a really nice town.
It is. I understand. But there's people out there and I can't. I won't. It's a very lovely town. So there's this cafe in town that my daughter and her friends have enjoyed going to for years. They've gone there for years. I always thought it was kind of... I've been in there once or twice. I always kind of thought it was like a hipster place, probably just because I think most coffee places are hipster places. That's probably...
Does it have a little front porch? Like a tiny front porch?
Think so. You could eat... There's like a couple tables set up?
Yeah, I think that's the place that I used to stop and get coffee when I got up there really early when we were still working at the terrestrial radio station. I would get up there way too early. I'd grab a coffee and then come back.
Yeah, like it's at the edge of town.
I think that's the
place. Like you have to drive through town. It's at the edge of town.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what I'm going to tell you, you probably won't go there no more. Anyway. So, but the girls, they like going there. I don't give a shit. I don't care. So then we have the insurrection on Wednesday night. And my wife tells me that my daughter and some of her friends decided or saw a picture of one of the owners at the insurrection. I don't think he was inside. I don't know exactly what it was. Really didn't matter to me. I really didn't think that much about it. But they decided that this was against their sensibilities and that they would no longer go there. And I was proud of her, and here's why I was proud of her. First of all, you have to understand, I never talked politics around my daughter. I'm not one of these people that needs to program my kid. I didn't talk about it because I didn't want to give her any opinions about it. Once I started realizing she had opinions about it, I started having like discussions. Like we talked about the police and Blue Lives Matter. I brought up the conversation that we had with her about some of that stuff. So she has very strong opinions about things, which is fine. But I was proud of her because they decided they were going to no longer frequent a place that they enjoyed, but because it was against their sensibilities. And they weren't doing it because of some hashtag movement. It wasn't this faux outrage, look at me. And you guys, you know, everybody listens to the show, I'm not a boycott person. I'm like, if you want to go there, go there. If you don't want to go there, don't go there. I don't need a fucking movement about it. Make your own decision. That's fine. I'm not mentioning the place now, as a matter of fact. But that's always been me. But I was proud of her because she made a decision because it violated her sensibilities. And that's what I've always talked about, like when people on the right or left try to trap me. Oh, well, you must think this. No, I got my own moral compass. You should listen to what I really think. I'm not going to fall into your little column where you want me to, which usually trips up conservatives when they're trying to argue with me. Actually, more Trumpsters at this point, because there's a difference, and I've been saying this for years, too. There's a difference between Republicans and conservatives. Conservatives want nothing to do with Donald Trump, by the way. Nothing to do with him.
Yeah.
But Republicans, Trumpsters, whatever. So they, but you must think that. No, you'd be surprised. I had somebody like that. Oh, I didn't hear you say anything about the riots over the summer. I go, well, actually, I was against the violence at the time. And on the radio I show, I thought the Portland thing was completely handled wrong. I made fun of them. I didn't think they should take over a city. I was, or part of a city, or a block or two of a city, whatever it was. I was not a fan of that. So
no.
Okay. So I thought. So I just posted on my Facebook how proud I was of my daughter.
Yeah.
So more comes out. More has come out about these owners in the days, which just shows how ahead of things my daughter and her friends were. They always know more shit. Yeah.
Do tell.
I'm about to. So anyway, my wife is driving past there a couple days ago, Sunday, and there's all these Trump flags out there. There's something going on in the street, and one of the people, one of the owners, is chasing this black woman away, this young black woman. Finally, she got away. My wife was keeping an eye on her. Otherwise, she would have intervened, which I told her was, no, that's not the right thing, or called the cops. I said, yes, that's the right thing. You call the cops. So later on, pictures come out, and there's these kids, like 5 or 6 years old. Again, they're all on the sidewalk and everything, and I'll tell you why in a few minutes. But they're all on the side. These kids, 5 or 6, wearing Trump stuff, and one of them, and behind one of them, and one of them's holding a Trump flag, huge sign. Behind one of them is a huge sign that says "Fuck Antifa." Listen, if you don't like Antifa, that's fine. There's not a town in this country that wants "fuck" emblazoned while in places where they're doing business. Nobody wants that shit. Whether you agree with the sentiment or not, nobody wants right. this shit. And this guy's a member of the Chamber of Commerce.
Wow.
And I know better. And I told my wife, I go, they're going to be out of business in a year. This is not going to stay. So I'll continue with this. But on a side note, listen, I don't care what your political ideology is, but it's really wrong to like take little kids 5, 6, 7, 8 years old and expose them to this. Because then another video comes out and they're chanting "All Lives Matter." We know what you fucking mean. And then a woman screams at them, "Racist." Yes, probably. But again, there's little kids here. Why would you bring your... Listen, if as an adult you want to partake in this, have at it. You have freedom of assembly. You have hate speech is protected. Freedom of speech is protected to a degree, which I'll get into in segment two. You can have at it. It might not be my cup of tea, but I'm not going to stop you from doing it. I'm not going to call family services when you bring the kid there. I'm just going to question why you're doing it. It's just not a good move, in my opinion.
Yeah, really?
So
dress up the little kids in you know, this propaganda stuff and parading them around? They don't understand the politics. Don't put that on them.
So I've lived in this town about 15, 20 years, and there's never been such a buzz. People are outraged. Well, people have done what I did with Juliana Avalos many years ago. They did a deep dive in some of their social media profiles. So then here's some of the things that that came out from the two owners. First of all, they were both at the protest. I saw some of the videos. They posted videos from the protest. They're like, the media is completely lying. It wasn't like that at all. Really? The media's lying? Are they? I don't think so. We have cameras. They didn't stage this shit, you dumbass. They believe in, like, clones or something. It's like all this far outrageous shit. They want to beat up Mike Pence. Yeah, by the way, another dumbass. How long has I been saying it's not going to end well? Trump is loyal to nobody but himself. Why would anybody get close to him? And now you're seeing it in the Republican Party. Yeah, because, of course, because they eat each other. Because the Republicans never liked Trump and Trump never liked them. They used each other. It was never gonna end well. But you see these dumb motherfuckers like, no, we're gonna hang tight to him. For years I've been telling you, Donald Trump is a loser. He has failed at everything he has ever done. This will end badly. How do I know? Well, the PGA doesn't want their fucking tournament at his place anymore. And you know Trump's going, "Ooh, that hurts." That's what he's really about. He is toxic. It was always going to end this way, because if you did your research, it always ends this way with Donald Trump. People always get hurt. The interesting thing about Donald Trump is he always gets away and moves on to the next. I don't know if that's going to happen this time. It might. I wouldn't be surprised. But it always ends badly. But that, so they're posting these videos, and then these are some of the comments that the two owners have posted on various social media. Let's see, what do we have here? One of them, the real history of Germany is Hitler was very kind to all people. Where do I find this history? Where do I find the history where Hitler was kind to all people? Yes, the Jews, they'd been toiling out of the goodness of their own hearts, and they were, Hitler said, "Come here, take a shower, clean off." I don't know why they didn't get out of the shower. Such a good man. Hitler was so good to the homosexuals and the gypsies and Catholics. Why do people get it twisted? The real truth is, why does Germany not allow Nazis to this day? Why don't they know their own history? Thank God we have these morons who own a cafe in my hometown who know the real truth.
Oh my God, they wrote Hitler fan fiction. Jesus.
This one was, the other one wrote in reference to the Governor Whitmer, who was, remember, was in, there was a plot to kill her, the governor of Michigan.
Oh yes.
She needs justice with a rope. And then he posts a picture with a hangman's noose.
No, oh my God.
He also posted in regards to the media, politics, and sports teams that they're tainted because they're owned by satanic Jews. To which I say, where's my team, motherfucker? if there's a
satanic Jews?
I feel like if there was going to be a satanic Jew, I would be it. Where is my network? Where is my franchise? Let me own the Jets. I will change it to the New York Jews.
Oh my God! Sign me up. Satanic Jews. Wait a minute. So these people, these cafe nuts, are they have a long history apparently in social media of blurting out all kinds of crazy shit, and now people are just discovering it because the kids found out that they were at this.
Well, I don't know if the kids found out that they were at this thing. Listen, the town is a buzz. I was actually looking at their shit, and their social media was disappearing as I was looking at it on Sunday night. Even the cafe's Facebook page is done. And I said on Sunday, before I knew all this other stuff, before she knew about it, all this other stuff, I said by Sunday, I go, let's make a bet right now. Let's write down the date. They will not be here in a year. Oh, but there's a lot of Trump supporters in this town. Yeah, I think my town tends to be right, but it's also a hippie town where they're very big on green and preservation and everything. So even though they vote right, they have some left thing. But nobody wants Holocaust deniers in the Chamber of Commerce. Nobody.
Nobody
wants the guy who advertises. Listen, you're going to get some people that are going to frequent it, but not enough to keep you in business. All this shit where the community loved you before, it all gets washed away when you go, you know, that Hitler, not so bad.
You know what? You know, if Hitler was around right now and he had the dry cleaners, I'd bring my suits there.
Sure.
That's the problem.
Hitler's dry cleaning. Don't believe what you heard about our showers. Sure.
Oh my God.
Hitler's dry cleaning. We'll steam it. It's a gas. What? 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 Hitler's dry cleaners. We use only organic soap made from your finest Jews. What? What?
Oh my God. Oh God.
Listen, nobody's going into that place anymore to get them a fucking scone. It's over. You dumb motherfuckers. Is it censorship? Yeah, because 90% of people don't like Nazis. We fucking fought a war. You can't be a patriot of America and pro-Nazi, because real patriots from this country and other countries kick the Nazis' ass. That's what America does. We kick Nazi ass.
Yeah. America usually is pretty in lockstep with anti-fascist, usually. Up until now.
The country is twisted. And then we're going to take a break. I've been telling you this, before it was popular to do it, I said, this is a scammer working. Before they were talking about cults and scams, I said, this is a scammer. They work just like a fucking scammer. Look what he's doing. He even said it himself. Don't listen, don't believe what you're seeing and hearing, believe me. And I broke it down, like I broke down how the scammers work. And he got half the country to believe this bullshit. And you still see people clinging on. Slowly the fog is gonna lift. I don't know how this ends for them. Because scam victims, you know, when they finally realize what goes on, it's very hard. But there's a small group of people that knew they were being scammed. And some people forgive them. And some people never let them forget it, because the scammer causes a lot of damage. And relationships of friends and blood get torn asunder. I've seen it time and time again. I don't know what's going to happen with this Trump fanaticism. It is going to wither away and die. There will always be people that will like Trump, but there was always racists here too and anti-Semites here. But this clinging to Donald Trump, it's not going to age well. And I fucking told you, it was never going to end well. So I don't know what these people are going to do. You know, Joe's always been a tweener with me, and then we will take this break. Like sometimes, like, Joe talks a lot of sense. And then sometimes I've called Joe a racist on the show because things have come out of his mouth, not recently, but over the past.
But there's been the occasion that's like, what did you just say?
Things I never thought he would say have come out of his mouth. And I'm not talking out of school. It's happened on our air. So, I mean, I don't think he was ever as in as some of the most people, but he got indoctrinated. He got... listen, when Joe gave his take, and I disagree with much of what he said, but that's Joe's take, and that's fine, and it's not going to end our friendship because he didn't fucking storm the Capitol. He's not a Holocaust denier. You know, as much as he said some things that are racist, I've never seen him treat a minority badly. I've never seen that. Now, there's never been any reports. I think he just said some stupid shit. That's what, you know. So,
because
I've had that. Why are you friends with Joe? Why is Joe on your show? Because he had something. And I told you. I said this a couple of weeks ago. Joe and Pip are on my show because they make me laugh. Tough titties. They make me laugh. That's why they're on the show. And they have points of view which I like. That's why they're on the show. And they're friends. They've been friends of mine for over 20 years. And yes, Joe's and my relationship is contentious at times, but we're friends.
At times.
No, you listen. Whatever. What? But listen. So I don't know what's going to be with these Trumpsters. I don't know what's going to be. But it's going to be very interesting to watch because it has not ended.
Yeah. I'm amazed, especially lately, because I feel like a lot of the Republicans are in an abused spouse relationship with Trump, especially like people oh my God.
Yes.
Cruz, Ted Cruz.
Oh, Ted Cruz is a scumbag.
Oh, he is a scumbag, but he's also like, you know, I mean, Trump could do anything to him, and he'd still come sniveling back.
Yeah, well, you know, call his wife ugly, say his father killed Kennedy, that's all fine.
Yeah.
All right.
I guess he's okay with the ugly wife line, too.
Well, listen, I don't know what their relationship's like. Maybe that turns her on. I don't know. All right. So what I want to do is, I want to take our first break. I want to get Ward Anderson on the air with us. Ward will join us. We'll talk about some of the stories. On the break, we got new music from Jester with Fall Away and Parabola West with World of Ours. And you can learn more about both those artists at deucemusic.com. So hang tight. We'll be back, in about 7.5 minutes, something like that. So get refreshments. We got more to do.